If Jesus goes with me, we need to always keep that in our minds. The places that we go, and make sure that we are doing the Father's will, and He will most definitely go with us.
Amen.
It is so good to be able once again to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. Enjoy each day that we have, that we wake up to a glorious day as on this morning with frost on the ground. In Texas, they would say that we would be in the dead of winter right about now. Many people will not go outside their homes, and I'm just trying to get readjusted to the cold weather. But it's going to be all right. On this morning, I want to talk to you reference to the subject of drawing nearer to God. Drawing nearer to God. It is so important that we realize that God desires each one of us to do His will. He would want each one of us to be His children. And within being His child, we would desire to be close to Him.
Amen.
Just as a baby desires to be close to their mom or their dad, little children want to be around their parents, want to be close to them. There are some big boys that like to be close to their mamas. They hang out with their dads. There are some grown men that love to be around their parents.
Amen.
And I believe just as we as people like to be around one another, we should truly like to be close to God.
Amen.
For all that He has done for us. Going back all the way to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Even with the sin that Adam and Eve committed, they still knew that it was important to be close to God. But because of their sin, they tried to hide themselves. So we need to think about that as we go through this lesson on today, that what am I doing to draw closer to God? What am I doing to draw closer to God? The scripture reading from the book of Psalm 73, we're just going to read verse 28 this time. Psalm 73, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all Thy works. It's good for me now to draw near to God.
Amen.
You know, how many times have someone told you what was good for you, but you knew that what they were saying may not necessarily be good for you? But then there were other times when someone said, it would be good for you if you would do this or do that, and you realize how good that really would be. Well, just think for a moment how good it would be to draw close to God. See, some are away from God right now. And your life may be what you call good. Just think about how much better it would be.
All right.
If you would draw closer to God. And as we draw closer to God, we want to make sure that we do it in a fashion that is pleasing to Him. Whatever we find in His Word that we're supposed to do, we need to be doing those things. Drawing close to Him. Get to know Him. Have a relationship with Him. You know, if you have a relationship with him, he'll have a relationship with you. So drawing near to God. What is this all about? It's about making sure that this thing is going to work, I guess. When we draw near to God, we draw away from ourselves. I'm not telling you to get in a hole somewhere. I'm not telling you to get yourself away from everybody. But it says here, away from ourselves. Well, see, sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to get away from ourselves.
Amen.
And get next to God. In the book of Romans chapter 12, the verses 3. Romans chapter 12, the verses 3. You know, a lot of times, Brother Simmons, we just look at a couple of verses. You know, 1 and 2. Or it teaches us that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice unto God. That we're not supposed to be, you know, conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
Verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the same measure of faith." There's nobody here right now bigger than anybody else. No one greater than anybody else. So we need to remove ourselves out of the picture and say, "God, it's all about you. It's not about anybody but about you." So we need to remove ourselves. You know, this is what it causes when we draw close to God. We draw away from ourselves. It's not what I've done, it's what you've done. And just think now, what has God done for you that you couldn't do for yourself? Yeah, we know the scriptures teach us a whole lot of different things, and it says a whole lot of things in a whole lot of different ways. Save yourself from this untoward generation. But you know, without God, we couldn't be saved, could we?
Amen.
So as we draw near to him, we draw away from ourselves.
Amen.
It's by doing what he commands us to do that we will be found faithful. That we will be found in his presence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the verses is 27. See, we need to be very careful with the things in which we teach, the things in which we preach, and make sure that we're keeping ourselves intact because we want to be close to God. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So we want to make sure that we're not, you know, teachers of God's word and not doers of God's word. We want to make sure that we're keeping ourselves in check and making sure that we discipline our bodies in the way that God would be pleased with. That when we talk to someone about God's word,
amen,
that it's not just helping them, but it's helping us as well. See, so we need that. But the only way that we're going to be able to accomplish this is that we draw away from ourselves. Oh, we can fall. And there are many men that have fell before. There are those that have given up in teaching and preaching God's word because they saw that they themselves had got too big. And God said, "You're nothing without me."
Amen.
Draw close to God. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. A lot of times we want to come to God, but we want to bring everything with us. Some things God just don't want in his presence. It says in very, actually let's read verse 23 and 24. "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." deny himself. Draw away from yourself. It's not about you anymore. You want to follow after me? Deny yourself. Give your bodies wholeheartedly unto the Lord. You know, we decided to become Christians. We gave up a lot. And realized that it was no longer about what we want, but what God wants.
Amen.
What God desires. And this is one of the few times that we can use the word want, because God does not need us. We need Him.
Amen.
And so let us draw away from ourselves and draw closer to God. We need to draw away from the world. And this is what happens when you draw close to God. You're drawn away from the world. And then we go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, for those of you that are trying to get ahead, I don't mean to confuse you, but we'll go back to 1 John in just a moment. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. We want to draw away from the world. We don't want to do the things that the world is doing. We don't want to be a part of the world. We're in the world, but we don't need to be a part of the world.
Amen.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is a reason for everything that we do. There is a reason to look at the Bible and say, this is what I need to do in order for me to be pleasing to God. This is what I need to do in order to be close to God. This is what I need to do in order for God to be close to me. And we follow it. One letter at a time. One day at a time. We follow His Word because we want to be pleasing to Him. We want to be acceptable unto Him. We want to draw away from the world. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Oh, if you like the world, then you don't want to draw close to God. You want to stay out there in the world. You want to do what you want to do. But we don't want that. We don't want you to be that way. We want you to draw away from the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Very simple, John is saying. If you focus on the wrong thing, you do not love God. So we need to focus on God, don't we? We need to put Him first in our lives. Then in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
Good times come and good times go. You buy a brand new car, but guess what's going to happen to it? It's going to get old. You buy some nice clothes and you think they're really spectacular and you put them in your closet and you go and you get them out and to find out moths had eaten them up because you haven't worn them in a while. The worldly things. Worldly things. Let's draw close to God. And, you know, you never know how much you know, have put into the worldly things until it comes down time for spiritual things.
Right.
And you have no clue what you're supposed to do. So he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Is John saying not to love one another? No, he's not saying that. Is John saying that you can't, you know, have a little affection for some of the things that you have? He's not saying that. He just said, make sure that when you draw close to God, that you don't think that God cares about those things. Because He really don't. Although He tells us what in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, reference to food, clothing. What does He tell us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness.
All right.
And all these things shall be added unto you. We need to understand where our focus needs to be. It needs to be drawing closer to God and away from the world. Chapter 5, verse 4. Chapter 5, verse 4, 1 John. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Wow. Why do you don't care about these things that you used to care about? Because I'm a child of God now. I remember long, long time ago, I used to collect blues, CDs, and cassette tapes. Well, it wasn't CDs then. I'm a little bit older than that. It was cassette tapes. And when I thought I had found God, I got rid of all those things. You hear what I said? When I thought I had found God, I got rid of all those things. It was worldly. I no longer desired to listen to that type of music anymore. But then when I really found God, I found that it wasn't just listening to the blues. It was the type of blues that I listened to. Sometimes we need to get rid of some things in order to really find God. And when I got rid of those things, I found God, and guess where He was? Where He had always been. He was right there.
Amen.
He's never been lost. We're the ones that have been lost. So we need to draw closer to Him and away from the world. It says again there in verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Yes.
Even our faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And what did you change in your life when you became a Christian? What focus, what did you, you know, turn your focus to? Was it God? Or did you say, well, you know, I can't give up these worldly things. I need to hold on to them. You haven't really came to God. You haven't really drawn closer to Him. You know, you tell a little child, you know, you're getting ready to cross the street, hold your mom's hand, hold your dad's hand, hold my hand. Stay close to me. Don't want anything to happen to you. I would like to encourage you on this morning to stay close to God. Amen. So nothing will happen to you. Amen. Not saying that bad things will not come into your life. Not saying that the death may not come. Not saying that some things may not destroy. But I'm saying stay close to God. And you'll find out how good those things can be.
Amen.
See, we can overcome those things. We can work our way through those things with the help of others. Let's keep doing that. When we draw near to God, we draw near one to another. See, I need you. You may say, I don't need you, but I need you. Each one of you. As a member of the Lord's church, I need you. Those of you that are not members of the Lord's church, you know, we need you to become a member so that you can fellowship with us and it be pleasing to God. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Second Peter 1, verse 1. See, we want to be close to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's with us. You know, as Peter was writing here, you know, we want to encourage each one of you to be by another Christian, to encourage someone else, the like precious faith, knowing what God has done for us, knowing what Christ did for us, knowing what the apostles did for us, knowing what other men have done for us, and know what we can do for one another. We need to draw close to God.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Go ahead, Brother Theodos, read that for us.
Only let your conversation be as if you covet gospel of Christ, whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear your prayers, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
You see how good it is when we draw close to one another? We hear good things about them. You know, I was listening to Brother Dunn's sermon. Well, I don't think it was much of a sermon. I think he was just giving y'all some insight about him leaving and about me coming. And he was talking about them getting off the planes and him being, you know, having a layover there. And he made a mistake and said hangover. And he said it wasn't me. I know I didn't have a hangover. He said, I don't know about Brother Melvin. Well, I didn't have a hangover either. But it's good to get a good report, isn't it?
Amen.
Of people doing what they're supposed to do. Those that draw near to God, we draw near to one another.
Amen.
And it says again that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Knowing what you're doing and knowing that the things that you're doing are good. Meaning that you're drawing closer to God. You know, the closer we draw to God, the Bible tells us, closer God draws to us. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want to draw closer to Him because we want Him to be close to us. And it allows us to draw closer to one another. Book of Acts chapter 4 verse 32. Acts chapter 4 verse 32. So we have to really understand what it means to draw near one to another. Acts 4 verse 32, it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. One mind, one soul. All they had were common, one of another. Brother Thanopoulos, I like that deck you have at your house. Is it mine? He's looking at me like, you know good and well it's not yours, it's mine. Didn't even want to answer me. It's okay to answer me, brother. Shake your head. No, it's my deck. Huh? It's yours, isn't it? Can I share it with you? He said, sure, we can share it. One of another. Having a barbecue over at Brother Thanopoulos' house. I'm bringing the matches. He's bringing everything else. All things common. All things common. Remember back in Acts where they sold their possessions and distributed to those that had need? Not the ones that wanted something extra, but the ones that had need. This is what it means to draw closer to God. You know, we help one another out. When we draw closer to God, God is near us.
Amen.
God is near us. James chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. So we need to share with one another. We need to make sure that we do it in a way that God wants us to do it, though. You don't go and try to take someone else's possessions. What they want you to have, they will give you. God has given us all. He gave us His Son.
Amen.
To die upon the cross of Calvary so that we could have life and have it more abundantly, Christ tells us. In James chapter 4, to verses 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, we have to make sure that our minds is in the right place. We have to make sure that we're doing the right things, the things that God is pleased with in order for Him to be near us. He does not allow His Spirit to dwell in a tabernacle of wickedness. He wants you to be good so that the Spirit can be with you. He wants you to come to Him in prayer and He wants to be able to answer your prayer. But you know, there are so many people today that are so far away from God. And it's not God that has moved. Remember Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 and 2. It talks about our iniquities. Not the iniquities of God, because God has no iniquity. Our wickedness separated us between God, from us and God. We are separated. So we need to draw closer to Him so He can be close to us. In Hebrews chapter 7, the verses 19. Hebrews chapter 7, the verses 19. Hebrews 7, 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw what? Near or nigh to God. Better hope. We have a future, don't we? We don't have to worry about, you know, sins rolling over from year to year. We have a better hope. We can live and say, today is a good day. And if I live to see tomorrow, it'll be an even better day. Why? Because God has given us time to get our lives in order. He's given us time to repent of our sins. He's given us time to confess His Son. He's given us time to have, you know, our sins washed away in the water of our baptism. Those that are not members of the Lord's church. And those that are, He's given us time to realize what this better hope is all about. It's a home in heaven. And it could be all of ours if we would only draw close to Him. Acts chapter 17, verse 27. Acts 17, verse 27. As Paul, the Bible says in verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that ye are in all things, you are too superstitious, too religious. Is there a such thing? In this case, it is. They would worship in all types of gods. And to the God that they should have been worshiping, look at it, it says in verse 23, it says, to the unknown God. Paul said, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Why? Because he wants them to draw closer to God. In verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He's there. He is just waiting on you. He's waiting. God is near us when we draw near to Him. How's your life today? Is it how God wants it to be? Is it how it should be? Or are you missing something? Are you missing the presence of God? Are you missing the relationship of God? You know, there are those that have strayed away from the fold, and we don't care anything about them. We don't say anything to them. We don't try to call them and encourage them. But when we lose a loved one to death, oh, we miss them dearly. Can't change the fact that they're dead, but we miss them dearly. So you know what we need to put our focus on? Not on those that have died, but those that are still living. To encourage them to draw near to God and allow God to be near to them. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Acts 22, verse 16. Those of you that are not members of the Lord's church and you've been contemplating in your minds whether or not you want to become a member or not, you want God to be near you, but you're still contemplating in your minds to turn your life over to Him. He's not going to be there for you unless you do what you're supposed to do. It was told unto Paul to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You know what he did? He didn't hesitate. He did exactly what was commanded for him to do. Why do you linger? Why do you wait? It's so easy to do what is right, But yet it takes effort to continue to do what is wrong. Why do I say it takes effort? Because you're looking over your shoulder. You're wondering when death is going to come your way. You're wondering who's going to say something to you about the wrong that you're doing. Let's quit wondering those things. Let's have our past sins. Let's have our sins washed away so that they can be in the past. And those of you that are members of the Lord's church, consider Acts chapter 8, verse 22. As Simon the sorcerer thought that he could buy the gift of the Holy Ghost, and Peter said, no, you need to have part and a lot in this matter. Let your money perish with you. He said, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Peter is trying to encourage Simon to get his life in order. Same thing we're trying to do today. Trying to encourage you that have strayed away from the fold to come back so that you do not perish. Oh, you have time. Yes, you have time. But guess what time you have? Only the time that God has allowed you to live.
Amen.
James says, what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanishes away. One moment you're here, the next moment you're gone. Today is all we have. And guess what's going to happen on tomorrow if you live? Today will be all we have. But how long are we going to play that game? How long are we going to stay out there? When it's cold outside, the man that has no shelter want to be inside. When it's warm outside, no telling what goes on the outside. We want to be on the inside, don't we? When Noah was building the ark, what do you think all the people did that he preached to? They stood by, they watched him, they went about their business, they did what they wanted to do. But when it was all finished, they didn't stand back and say, wow, Noah, you built a great ark. They didn't do that. I'm going to tell you why. They had something else on their mind. Can we come in? This stuff that's coming down, that's falling on us, is wet. Can we come in? It's raining and it never stopped for 40 what? Days and 40 nights. It rained and the floods came and the people were drowned because of their wickedness. There are many people today that need to come back to the Lord before it is too late. Don't think for one moment, because the scriptures have already showed us what's going to happen. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, it showed us already that there are those that are going to come and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, can we come in? No. Well, that's actually verse 22, and then 23 says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I knew you not. Noah had his instructions. When that door was closed, it was not to be opened. On the last day, it's going to be too late. Get your life together on today. If you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.